Okay, so God's creation teaches us about the character and reflect the character of God. It shows us that God is creative, right? Look at all the different kinds of birds and flowers that are out there. God is highly intelligent. God is highly loving because he made that for us to enjoy, all right? So those are things that creation teaches us about God. Now, what are some action steps we can take as Christians regarding the environment around us? Okay, what are some action steps we can take? Well, first of all, Christians must be involved in the healing process from the fall, all right? So we're involved in restoring man's relationship to God, relationships with one another, but also the environment or with nature, okay? So since God will restore creation someday, we should move in that direction of God's future restoration. Hey, Francis Bacon, many consider him the father of modern science. In our science talk, the modern sciences are birthed out of the Christian worldview. All right, so Christianity and science are not enemies. For centuries, they were allies. All right, it's only in recent times they were made to be enemies. But in Novum Organum, Francis Bacon says, man by the fall fell at the same time from his state of innocence and from his dominion over nature. Both of these losses, however, in this life can in some part be repaired, the former by religion and faith and the latter by arts and sciences. Okay? So Christians should be involved, okay, in restoring and helping to repair and restore the environment. That's nothing unspiritual about that. Okay, so churches and youth groups being involved in replanting, you know, forests, cleaning the community or whatever, that's a spiritual thing. Okay, that's not a new age or worldly, unspiritual kind of thing. That's a spiritual thing. I think setting a good model and example for the community that is God's people, we care for God's creation. We don't worship it, okay, like the pantheists do, but we care for it, all right? Next. Oh, all right, so that's one. What are some other ways that Christians can apply Christian environmentalism? What are some other action steps we can do in caring for the environment around us? Yeah, I like that one. Okay. Yeah. Okay, All right, good. Any others? Are you guys, aren't you guys involved in a future building program? Huh? Are you going to consider certain environmental components in your design? Okay. Well, here's some. Okay, Christians should study the Bible, learn what it teaches about stewardship of the environment and the resources around us. Okay, so take students on a hike, teach them the value of the environment, and see the beauty of God's creation in it. Okay, so instill within them a love for God's creation. Okay, I didn't know, but I went on a hike with a mathematician, and everywhere they were showing, do you see how mathematically precise this leaf is? And I'm like, no. And they said, this is an engineering wonder, and they explained it to me. I went, whoa, yeah. And they said, okay, now you look at this tree. This is an engineering wonder. I said, do you know a lot of the buildings in Asia now are designed after this particular tree, you know, for the earthquakes and all this kind of stuff? I said, really? They said, yeah. So he showed me the mathematical structure of this tree and then how water, you know, is siphoned up it and all this. And I was going, whoa. So anyway, it was real fascinating to look at all these structures in nature and see what engineering feat this actually is. So it's a highly intelligent creator we have here, okay? Churches and Christian schools and parents need to teach biblical principles of Christian environmentalism. All right. Most schools will teach ecology from a pantheistic perspective. All right. As Christians, we need to present the biblical perspective on the environment. Okay. Christians and churches should practice sound ecological principles. Okay, so we should participate in things like recycling. There's nothing wrong with Christians joining the Sierra Club, right, and being a part of having a Christian voice in groups like that. Okay, there's nothing wrong with churches being involved in cleanup projects or replanting trees or whatever it may be. Okay. There's nothing wrong in working with the government to promote wise and safe use of resource and protect the environment. Okay. And so speaking on that, we should also consider the witness we have in the kind of church structures we put up. Right? Huh? In Mount Hermon in San Jose, my friend was a pastor up in that area. And when they put up a church, when the people heard a church was going to be put up there, they all rioted. Because churches, you know, go in there, level out the place, put a concrete parking lot and a white cement building up. And Mount Hermon's in the Redwood Forest, right? I mean, it's beautiful. And so they were like, no, we don't want these guys coming here. No, get them out of here. And so they nearly rioted. Well, the pastor and his architects and everyone knew the kind of environment they were in. So it cost them a whole lot more. But guess what kind of church they designed? They designed one that had that redwood facade looking thing on the outside, whatever it is, with, you know, a nice tile roof that matches the environment around them and all this. Anyway, it cost them a lot more, but they invited the neighborhood to come in and said, this is the kind of structure that's going up. And it matched. It looked like a huge log cabin. It actually looked like a huge ark, like a Noah's Ark or something. And he said, this is the structure we're putting up. The parking lot's going to be in the back. You can't see it. So they were sensitive to their environmental concern. And as a result, the people not only allowed them to put up a church, but they have been very friendly and supportive of that church and their ministries, okay, because they were able to care for that. So we need to consider, are we displaying care for the environment in the way we put up our structures? Yeah, I remember I was in Japan, and on two sides of the river, one side there was a church, and one side there was a Shinto or Buddhist temple. No, Shinto shrine. And the Shinto shrine was really beautiful. They had nice trees, a nice garden, and all of that. Because Shintos are nature worshipers, right? So they had all that going. And then when I looked across the river to the church, it's a gray parking lot and a gray building and all that. And, I mean, just aesthetically, you know, you're looking. Now, if you're Japanese and you're not a believer, I mean, what are you thinking? You know, you're not a believer here. You're like, church, they don't really care about the beauty of my culture and the land around. Shintoism does, you know. So what kind of witness are we setting with the kind of structures that we put up? Okay, it's something to be aware of. So, yeah, there's... It's going to cost more to make it nicer. You don't have to be extravagant, but you should have something that I think would be a good witness to the community, you know, that shows we care about, you know, the environment too, especially if you're in a beautiful place like Hawaii or Japan or Northern California or places like that. Texas, put whatever up. Well, whatever. Okay. Okay. All right, any other applications you can have on Christian environmentalism? Okay. Fortunately, we are getting now a lot of Christians majoring in the environmental sciences, which is a good thing. Unfortunately, most of their teachers are pantheists and New Agers. But hopefully there will be a good group crop coming out who are in the environmental sciences that will teach from a Christian worldview perspective the care for the environment. Okay, well, I think this is still an issue, okay? So that's why I have it included here. Global warming, okay? Are we in a crisis here? Is the world about to go under? Stephen says no. Yes. See, there is a debate going on here, okay? So why do you say yes? Why do you say yes? Huh? Oh, it's hot. Okay, yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right, yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. What about you, Steve? Why do you say no?
It's been known the temperature has fluctuated over the past, so there's nothing really abnormal. It's just that people are more concerned about the climate of things, but it's all normal. It goes in patterns. So that's for global warming. Hmm.
Okay. Yes.
I agree with Steve for different reasons. Ultimately, my reason is I agree with him because God is in control ultimately. And it's, I don't think that's biblical until we're out of here. Eventually, the earth is going to burn up, and that's long gone. So God is in control.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other? Okay. It's quite a debate, especially since Al Gore's movie came out, right? And all of that. Well, you know, you don't get to hear both sides of the global warming debate, because if you're against global warming, then you're a anti-environmentalist, or you're a tool of big tobacco or big oil companies or whatever, all right? And it's immediately shut down. But the fact is, if you look at the temperatures throughout Earth history, one of the things Al Gore showed you is what? That he started the temperature in the 70s, right? And it's going, but what he didn't show you is the temperatures decades before. The Earth does go through warming and cooling cycles like that, okay? For example, Greenland was once green, okay? Like on Greenland, okay? They have discovered tropical forests, okay, up in the northern regions of the Earth and even the southern regions of the Earth. So, there's evidence, okay, that when you look at the ice layering, you know, from Iceland and Greenland and all, that's how we can tell at certain levels the vegetation is green, is there, okay? So the Earth goes through warming and cooling cycles, all right? Now, the debate is, in our day, I think it is warmer, okay? It is warmer. But the debate is what's causing it, okay? Is it man-made warming or is it not? That's, I think, the crux of the debate, okay? Most of the temperature reveals a warming trend, but most of them come from the ground stations, okay, in urban areas, many of them from the airports. So, of course, in urban areas, it's going to be warmer. Okay, but from the weather balloon or satellite data, the temperature has varied little, all right, has varied little, okay? And many say, well, the temperature in the atmosphere remains constant, all right? But we know that the polar ice caps are getting a little smaller, okay? But they're getting smaller on Mars as well, okay? And nobody's living on Mars, okay? Not that I know of, all right? And their polar ice caps are getting smaller as well. So the question is, what causes that global warming? Is it really man-made? Or is it solar activity? Or is it the way, you know, we move around the sun and rotate? What exactly is causing that? That is your debate. Okay? Is it so much man-made, or is it activity from the sun, or how we're moving around it? that's really your debate. Now, are we in a complete crisis where we're, you know, going to be 6 feet underwater all over the world? Don't think so. You know, if the Earth gets 2 or 3, 4 degrees warmer, even 5 degrees warmer, it might become more tropical, you know, and that's not so bad, you know. You might have a few places that the water level rises as the polar caps shrink. So I think, you know, my opinion from what I've studied, the scientists who are much smarter than I that I talk to, I think there's a lot of hype going on in the global warming issue. So we need to take, you know, look at the facts very carefully and not panic, okay, or not send any kinds of messages of panic, but to be very careful looking at that information and make some real clear assessments of it. I think I've talked to enough scientists where I think the Earth is a little bit warmer, but that's a natural warming and cooling trend that happens. But what they are debating is it really man-made or not? Is it the cycles that we go through? What do they call it? Solar flares and all that, or is it something that we have created? You know, that's the debate of where we're at. Okay. All right. Well, any questions on what we covered? Yes. Oh, well. It's actually received well in that most of them, it's the first time they're hearing it. And so they're just kind of, oh, huh. And then they start talking about Adam and Eve or what was Eden like or, you know, age of the earth. They start asking all those kinds of questions like that. But I think most of them see it as very reasonable and things like that. And that they're, one of the things that really they respond with relief, maybe that's the word, when they hear that Christians are not against technology. We are not. We are all for technology. We're all for the advancement of mankind. But to use that technology wisely and ethically is what we want, right? Technology is neither good nor evil. It's part of that cultural mandate to rule and subdue the earth. So we use technology and the resources of the land to rule over the earth and enhance human life and defeat the effects of the fall and conquer disease and all of that, you know, communicate better and all of this. So we're not against technology. We're advocates of properly using that technology correctly. And that's where the Christians have to lead the way. We can't be behind the ball on that. So when it comes to areas of genetic engineering and medical technology, you know, like we just talked in vitro fertilization and all that, Christians need to be the leading voice that says, we can fertilize an egg. Okay, but how should we do it ethically and correctly? How should it be done? We can modify certain grains and all this and whatever, make them stronger. But how should we use that technology? You know, we can now decide, do you want a boy or a girl? You know, and Christians need to be at the forefront of when it comes to reproductive technology. How do we use this properly, kind of things. Computer technology, right? Christians need to be at the forefront. When you talk like virtual reality and all that kind of stuff, you need the Christian voice at the forefront. Is it ethical to use in vitro fertilization to experience sex. You know, I'm not going to get STDs. I'm not going to get that. I'm not going to rape anyone. Is that ethical? I mean, Christians need to be at the forefront of things like that and being able to state their case. So unfortunately, we're not. We're always behind the ball. When something happens, then we protest, right? We say, then everybody thinks, oh, these Christians, they're not about, they don't like technology. They don't like the advancement of technology. No, it's not that. We're just behind the ball all the time. You know, something comes out and then we start complaining, and then we need to be at the front in the guidance. So we need students and adults who are going to be in these new arenas of medical technology and space technology and all these kinds of things to be at the front to give good, solid ethical guidelines into how to use this kind of technology properly. Yeah, but usually it ends up kind of like that. But they see it very reasonable that we do not worship the environment, but we should care for the environment. And then you get a few that get angry and say, well, you Christians haven't done it yet. And I'll say, yes, we haven't done a great job, but hopefully, you know, we'll get better at it. Yeah. Okay, yes. Yes. Yeah, no, I don't know. Most of the studies that I've been privileged to observe, when they are trying to enhance and improve crops, they're doing it indoors, so that doesn't happen. Most of them. I don't know. There may be some that do it outdoors. I don't know enough, but the ones I've seen in Japan and in the Philippines and in Nebraska and things, when they're trying to improve stuff, they're doing it indoors, and they're trying to keep that stuff from happening. Doesn't maybe, yeah. Yeah, who knows? Yeah, I don't know enough in that arena to know if they do it outdoors. I don't know.
They do.
Yeah.
They do?
On this island?
Yeah.
Really? Oh, yeah? What are they modifying? Pineapple or them? Oh, yeah? Oh, really? Huh. Uh-huh. Huh. Really? Wow. Uh-huh. Wow. Huh. Yeah. Really? That's okay. And what? Tell us. This is new to me. And what? What was the? Oh, so it's still in litigation or whatever. Oh, okay. Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that's interesting. That's a wow. Okay. I didn't know that. Wow. Wow. Oh. Yeah. Oh. Right. Right. Interesting. Wow. All right. Anyone else? Okay, very good. You can listen to my interview on environmentalism with Dr. Ray Bolin. He's a microbiologist, and Leslie Wickman, she's a NASA scientist. She gave that seminar here in Hawaii at the Evidence and Answers Conference. Those are two great interviews. Not 9:30, 6 p.m., 6 p.m., okay? On your way here, you can listen, okay? 6 p.m., you can listen to my interviews with Dr. Leslie Wickman and Ray Bolin on environmentalism, okay? Hey, where is it? There it is, okay. 6 p.m. on KGU, okay? All right, let's close our time in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for great discussion here tonight on this issue. And, Lord, there's a lot of questions that arise, but we pray that you would give us understanding in this arena of being good stewards over what you have created, Lord. And as it gets more complex and the technology advances, we pray, Lord, that you would continue to raise up great scientists and scholars who can address these kinds of issues and lead the way for a new generation in the responsible use of technology, and help us to be aware and to teach on these subjects that we may inspire that generation to do so. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We'll see you next week when we talk about... Oh, movies. Okay, how to watch a movie. It'll ruin you. It'll